This morning we're going to be continuing on in the series we've been using together from the 40 days of community study and devotional. And I must say that I've really enjoyed this devotional. I've really enjoyed the study together. We've had a good time. I want to be associated with Esther on this day because of all her friends here today. But we had a very good group on Tuesday nights, and it was an interesting experiment that we tried. We invited some of the people from the English classes to come into the Bible study. I think that was really very, very good. We enjoyed that, and we're able to kind of expand the English classes into Bible study classes, and I think that's always been one of our goals. Today, we're going to be going through this idea of serving together, which is kind of the fifth installment, and I think Mark's going to wrap it up next week with the sixth installment of kind of worshiping together and then honoring the servants that we've been working with together. To summarize this idea of the 40 days of community, we would look at these kind of five ideas. We started with this first notion that love is the foundation of what we do as Christians. This idea that love is kind, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, and to be kind, you have to be with other people. It's not about being kind to yourself. So it kind of started with that as the foundation, and obviously it talked about the love of God, not the love of Hollywood. And the love of Hollywood is a feeling, and it's often a fleeting feeling, but the love of God is characterized by this 4CG acronym. Again, the first one, love is a command. The Lord has told us to love each other. Love is a choice. Even though it's a command from God, every moment I can choose to be ornery or to be loving. The third C is this idea that love is my conduct. It's how I act. It's a behavior. It's just not something that I feel. And then the last one, love is a commitment. That I love this idea that when things go wrong, that's when love walks in. When everybody else walks out, love walks in. And that the last G is that these things can't happen with our human efforts. This is inspired by God and the Holy Spirit. The next installment was this idea of service from the disciples, and the teaching was from the feeding of the 5,000. This image of Christ taking the bread, take the bread, break the bread, bless the bread, and use the bread for serving people. And we were asked to do that with our lives. Lord, take my life, break me of my self-centeredness, bless me to be your servant, and then use me as you wish. It's about you, Lord, not about my desires. Then we talked about love, and again, love protecting, hoping, trusting, persevering, the special kind of love that works in a community. And then we talked about speaking the truth in love, a difficult conversation, that communities aren't just about all things good, but how do we deal with the trouble that we experience in a community? This idea of speaking the truth together in love. So moving on to this idea of service. And we're going to use the words of Jesus largely to tell us about the importance of service. I'd first like to ask you a cultural question. How do you and how does our culture define greatness? You think of somebody great, many people would think of some of these people. Steve Jobs, perhaps the greatest entrepreneur and businessman ever, who changed the way we do just about everything. And we all know that, unfortunately, Steve Jobs has already passed away. We think of Michael Phelps, the world's greatest Olympian, won more gold medals than anybody else ever. And shortly thereafter, kind of made the news for found smoking pot with some of his friends and kind of tarnished his reputation. Albert Einstein, perhaps the world's greatest mind ever. Is that greatness? Oprah Winfrey, one of the world's greatest broadcasters, built a huge empire worth billions of dollars. Is that greatness? And then Muhammad Ali in the top, your top left-hand corner, I guess. Or is that your right? It's your right. Who, in fact, of himself said, I am the greatest. Those were his words. I am the greatest. And if you follow his career, as I have, the greatest is now struck down by a debilitating disease, Parkinsonism, and really can't walk, can't communicate very well. Not the inspiring athlete that he once was. His greatness was very fleeting. And I think if you look at the greatness of many of these peoples, this greatness is fleeting. The way these people embody greatness, the way our culture describes greatness, is not the way Jesus describes greatness. In Matthew 23, verses 5 to 12, Jesus is dealing with the religious leaders of his day from the Jewish community, and he spoke these words. "But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant." The greatest among you will be your servant. "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Sorry, I'm trying to work two computers here at the same time, and I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. This is a picture of Ron Eldridge. Ron was in the paper this week, and Ron exemplifies, I think, what we're talking about here. Ron is trying to start a ministry, in fact, has started a ministry, and was in the paper because he's getting so much material to give to people who live on the streets. Ron may tell you his story sometime. He's been in conversation with us here at the church. Mark and I had the opportunity to have lunch with him about 3 weeks ago. And he's trying to help people on the streets. He's trying to serve them, and he's serving them in humility. And these are the tough folks down at the corner of Maine and Higgins and other places like that. Ron spent many years on the streets himself, so he is the real deal. He knows the walk. But he exemplifies this idea of service in humility. It's not very glamorous being down there on Main Street. Jesus talks about the enemy of greatness being our pride. And that seems funny because many people who are great in the culture do seem to be proud. But Jesus says it's the enemy of pride. Jesus was himself a servant at the core of his being. His words are clear that he was a servant. That example of Christ washing people's feet is a phenomenal example, a metaphor of his desire for us to be servants, getting our hands dirty with service. I'm just going to bring along this more of Jesus' words from Matthew 20. Jesus called his disciples together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. Just as Jesus, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." It's clear that Christ says again this idea of reversal. If you want to be great, you should be last. If you want to be great, you should be a servant. I think many of us aspire to greatness in the way that culture describes. But Jesus is saying that's not for you if you're my disciple. So the first thing I want to say to you, if you're here today and you're not a Christian person, these words really aren't so much for you. Trying to be a servant of your own strength will get you just burnt out. It'll just get you tired. The most confusing verse for me, or one of the most confusing verses for me in the Bible, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." So all of the do-good things we see around us that are done without faith, the Bible says it's not pleasing God. I have a real hard time understanding that, but that is what the Scripture says. That is what the Scripture says. So if you're not a Christian person, perhaps you can see what the church is called to today. And maybe that'll stir something in you. The church is called to be people of humility, to be people of service, to be people who are other-focused. So I'd ask you a question. Maybe ask yourself this question. Do I really want to get my hands dirty serving other people? Do I really want to be a servant? Or would I rather hire some servants? Do we want to have servants or do we want to be servants? Do we covet the position of people who are able to have servants? What do you think about that? Ask yourself that in your heart. Do I really want to be a servant? Do I like that idea? Am I a servant? If you want to serve like Jesus wants you to serve, you have to be available. I was just speaking with my friend Jerry and trying to get some material that one of you has generously donated. And I said, you know, Jerry, this week I'm really, really busy. I don't have much free time to drive this over to your house. And I thought of this slide that I have prepared. And I must admit that sometimes my day timer looks like this. And that is a great barrier to being a servant. Busyness is a badge of honor that many of us wear. But if you wear it as a badge of honor, you're probably not able to be a servant very much of the time. This idea of us having any time or energy or money or ideas or initiative or anything to give to somebody else, or is it really all about me, all about what I've got going on? So the first thing is you have to have some availability in your schedule. And that will usually come from availability in your heart, opening up some time in your schedule to serve other people. So the first thing about serving like Jesus is being available. The second is doing it together as a community. We know that Jesus selected people together. He bought a team of 12 disciples. He sent the disciples out two by two to work as a team. This verse from Ephesians 4 says it very well. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we are to work together as a team, as a group. And one of the things we'll talk about at the end of the talk today will be, do we have a plan to work together? Can we find some people to serve together? Is that something we're willing to do? So first of all, we have to be available. Second of all, we have to be willing to work in teams. I think it's tremendous to work together. The third thing is we have to think about other people more than ourselves. In the translation from the Message, I love this rendering from Philippians 2:4. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. You probably can look back on your life and think of a real wonderful time when you were just helping somebody and how good that felt. In Winnipeg, we frequently, for our friends from Branson, we frequently have to prepare for floods here, and we have to sandbag each other's homes. And there's a huge community spirit when that happens. And people say, I love doing that. That was so much fun, slinging sandbags, because we were serving together. In Winnipeg, we don't have very much fun, so that's a highlight for us. Again, Hebrews 10:24. Consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. When Mark and I shared the service 2 weeks ago, we talked about outdoing one another in service. I know a lot of people who want to run a faster 10K than their neighbor or who want to win the bodybuilding competition that was held yesterday. And I know a lot of people who want to have the biggest bank account and the greatest net worth. But Scripture asks us to strive to outdo one another in service. That's what we should be comparing ourselves with, if we might, and then not going to pride. I had a car crash on Tuesday night as I was coming here to New Canadians to teach English, and we were starting a new Bible study this week, and it was kind of a fairly significant crash. The guy went through a red light about 80 kilometers an hour and hit the front of my vehicle. And I had a Chinese fellow in my car that I was taking to New Canadians, and the guy who hit me was Chinese. It was a bit comical when I was trying to report this to the people at MPI the next day. Well, who hit you? Yi Yu. Excuse me? Yi Yu hit me. Do you have a witness? I do have a witness. Who's your witness? Jinyu Yang. And he thought I was kind of playing a trick on him. I said, it's just a coincidence that they're both Chinese. But when Yi Yu hit me in the car, I must admit that I was angry. And I kind of wanted to be angry. And I wanted to go over and say, you idiot, like you could have killed us. And that was a human response. And I had this friend who I'm trying to witness to that I'm taking to English classes. And I said, well, that can't be the response. I have to serve this young man. He was scared. I'm sure it was his first accident in Canada. He was scared, and I don't think he really recovered very well. But neither of us were hurt physically, but I was able to drive him home in my vehicle. But it was this idea of, I got to serve this guy. I can't react as a human here. I've got to get beyond that. And it struck me that every need can be an opportunity for service, even a car crash. If you're a servant, it's an example that you have the love of Jesus in your heart. Jesus says to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. That's from Galatians 2, written by Paul. The author of the study we're doing, the 40 Days of Community, Rick Warren, has this beautiful turn of phrase, and he talks about the garments of service being the apron of humility. That's a beautiful image to me. Putting on the apron of humility as a garment of service. This idea of being humble, being linked to being a servant. So service is an opportunity to share the gospel both tangibly and verbally. It gives us an opportunity to do both, not just in action, but also in our words. The next thing that Rick Warren stresses in his devotionals is that Jesus wants us to view every task with equal dedication. There is no task too small for us to be pursuing as long as it's for him. Again, this idea from Mark 9:35, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. It's quite clear. We've looked at three scriptures here today where Jesus says the same thing. If you want to be great, if you want to be first, you must be a servant. And you must serve in humility, not looking for any exaltation. Those are easy words, aren't they? I think they're relatively easy. I get it. Yeah, first shall be last. We joke about it when we go for ice cream with the kids. You know, get to the end of the line. If you want it first, you're going to be last. And it's kind of this little game we play. But think of this little T-shirt sign. Welcome to Loserville, population U. Do I really think that being last is a good thing? Like, I mean, really deep in me? Mark likes that one. I think he's going to buy me that T-shirt. But this idea of last, I must admit that I do not want to be last in just about anything I do. And that's pride, and it's probably wrong. So it's not really a human characteristic. Jesus says we're to be humble, we're to be last, we're to be servants. He even uses the word slave to describe how we're supposed to be. Think of your life, think of your heart. Any of those apply to you? Yep, this is how I really want to live. If you're having troublesome relationships, I bet you could start fixing them today by trying to be more of a servant to the person you're struggling with in relationship. You probably have your worst relationships when you're the most proud in your relationships. This idea that pride is a real problem for people, even Christian people. C.S. Lewis said that pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment, or even common sense. Now, I would just ask you the question, are you or am I suffering from undiagnosed and untreated pride? We're taught to be proud in our community and proud in our team and proud in our family. And, you know, we use that word a lot. But there's a spiritual pride that's very, very negative. I deserve of life. I wouldn't do that. Touch those people? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't do that. I deserve better than that. Ask yourself the question, am I suffering from undiagnosed pride? Has anybody ever said to you, you're really proud right now, in a negative way, a spiritual friend? You might ask somebody you really trust, a Christian counselor you really trust who knows you, do you think I'm a proud person? Ask somebody the question and see what happens. Somebody you really trust, somebody who really knows you well. So Jesus says to us, replace the I deserve in our heads with the I serve in our hearts. Looking for opportunities to serve other people. The Christian church is often criticized for many things, and often deservedly so. But where I think the Christian church has its best witness is through service, and while it can spread the gospel at the same time. And I really think that we are being called to that as people, to serve other people. So serving like Jesus, first of all, again, you have to be a follower of Christ's. And if you're not a follower of Christ's, it's a really easy thing to do, to begin that relationship. Acknowledging that you are a self-centered person, that as a result of your self-centeredness, which the Bible refers to as sin, you've been separated from God, and that Christ can be the bridge, linking you back to God. And as he is that bridge, linking you to eternity with God. And then a different life here on earth, a life not just, again, being one devoted to yourself, but being devoted to others. As you try to serve like Jesus, relying on the Holy Spirit, this idea of those 9 fruit listed of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, these last 3, kindness, gentleness, goodness, sure sound like service to me, right? And then faithfulness and self-control. Being available, thinking of others more than you think of yourself, facing every task with the same dedication, working as a team and watching out in your life for pride. You see, we can start serving people and then say, well, did you see my service to this guy? And it just sounds like pride again. It's all this back self-centered thing. And how Christ rewarded people who did things silently. In fact, you know, pray by yourself. Don't do it like he talks about, as we read earlier, the Pharisees doing. To be seen by people, honored, call me rabbi. That's not the way Christ wants us to serve. So just a simple question. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Who am I serving? And you may be a mom with young kids and, oh my goodness, I got no time to serve anybody else right now. And you are serving your kids well. That's a good thing to be serving. So again, don't try to heap busyness on yourself. I got to serve to justify my faith. But our faith is worked out in our service. So who are you serving? How are you serving? Some of the groups have begun this conversation about serving together, how we might, as the small groups who've been doing this 40 days of community, reach out to some particular person or some particular group. And we've just really begun that conversation. But I would think that if we have this on our radar screen to be doing something together, where we get our hands dirty, whether we're engaged with people skin to skin, sweat to sweat, eye to eye, about serving them. We've talked about that several times. And trying to figure out what that might be. Listening for the call, seeing where God's working, getting involved. So ask yourself the question this week, am I a servant? Am I willing to be called last? Or do I have to be first in everything I do? Am I trying to exalt myself, or am I trying to humble myself? And I think that the Lord will work wonderful things in your heart when you're serving. And I think the really great thing we can do as a church is we can serve together. And we need to be having a conversation about that as we try to serve together and therefore fulfill what Christ would have for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this time to be together today. We pray that the time we've had, although a little shorter than usual, Lord, is something that would bring glory to you and help change the way we view ourselves, just try and view ourselves more as you would have us viewed. Lord, I would pray for the people that are gathering right now at the stadium, at the university, that, again, this will be a strong witness for you, and that the Christian church from many denominations can show unity and strength together as you would have us. So thank you for these people here today, Lord. Be with us as we continue to worship in song. Amen.